Coming up on KUCB News, Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott says he'll run for re-election with Governor Walker, and a new federal grant aims to revitalize native languages. Stay tuned.
Local News is sponsored by Alpha Welding and Boat Repair Incorporated, providing boat repairs and conversions in Unalaska Dutch Harbor for the last 25 years. Our professionals are trained to use heavy-duty equipment, including boom trucks, shears, brakes, a water jet cutting machine, and a punch machine. Our fully equipped metal fabrication welding shop and machine shop are located at 1149 East Broadway. Alpha Welding and Boat Repair can be reached at 581-1785 or 581-2666.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur with some local news on Tuesday, August 8th, 2017. Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott said that he and Governor Bill Walker will run for re-election next year, and he says they'll run together. Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchenman reports why even for incumbents, that might be an uphill fight.
Byron Mallott went further than Walker has in talking about next year's election. He spoke to host Pete Caron on Juno radio station KINY.
Well, we have both decided that we will run again.
Mallott says the decision isn't absolute because they don't know what may occur in the future, but he says their minds are made up to run again.
Whatever we do, we'll do together for sure.
Walker is a former Republican who ran without party affiliation in 2014. Mallott is a longtime Democrat who won the party's nomination for governor that year. Mallott then decided to join Walker's ticket. Mallott didn't say whether he and Walker will seek the nomination of a political party, but he noted that their non-affiliated run last time was successful. Walker's political spokeswoman is his daughter, Lindsay Hobson. She declined to comment on whether Walker is running for re-election, but she may have confirmed a re-election campaign in a roundabout way. She said she isn't saying that Mallott was inaccurate. Mallott's comments were received warmly by Alaska Republican Party Chairman Tuckerman Babcock.
We are happy to have our candidate take on two Democrats, and we think Governor Walker represents Democrats, and we think the Democratic Party will get its act together and also have an upfront Democrat. So from our perspective, having two Democrats running is a good thing.
Walker faces a potential challenge. If there is a Democrat running separately on the ballot, those votes would likely come at his cost. Babcock says he doesn't think it's possible for Walker to run as a Republican.
I don't see any avenue for Bill Walker to try to run in the Republican primary. I mean, he's governed as a Democrat with Democrat policies and Democratic appointments for the most part. And we see him as just a Democrat in independent clothing.
The Republicans may have a large field. While Wasilla State Senator Mike Dunleavy is the only announced candidate, former Senators John Binkley and Charlie Huggins, former Lieutenant Governor Lauren Lehman, and businessmen Bob Gillum and Scott Hawkins have met with party insiders about possible campaigns. The Alaska Democratic Party endorsed Walker 3 years ago. The party's executive director, Jay Parmley, says he wasn't surprised by Mallott's comments. Parmley says the party hasn't talked with Walker and Mallott about how they would run.
And we will cross that bridge whenever there is a complete formal announcement and the governor and lieutenant governor both declare their complete intentions as to the way they are choosing to move forward.
Parmley says Babcock shouldn't be focused on who will run against the Republican candidate.
I'm not concerned about who the Republicans are going to nominate. It's going to be in my view, a sort of a clown parade on that side.
Parmley says he's not concerned that both Walker and a Democrat will appear on the ballot.
The reason I'm not concerned about anything is because it's not a reality. I mean, it's the fact of the matter is that the governor and lieutenant governor are going to make a decision. We may have other Democrats who make a decision, and we will work all of that through as we go.
A major unknown on the Democratic side is whether former U.S. Senator Mark Begich will run. The filing deadline for the primaries is June 1st, almost 10 months away. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A beluga whale was harvested last week near Dillingham. It was the whole hunting party's first time taking a beluga. KDLG's Avery Lil has the story.
Beluga blood mixed with water on the boat ramp by the Dillingham City Dock. A crowd hovered around Cade and Daryl Woods of Dillingham and Rebecca Ozina of Little Diomede as they cut the edible skin and blubber and put it in plastic totes. Frank Woods, Cade and Daryl's father, coached them.
Just cut, Daryl, cut along the last ribbon, leave it there. Follow it along. Cut it off.
The community showed up in force when Frank Woods announced their catch on the Dillingham Trading Post Facebook page. Lines of cars brought people with their totes and trash bags. The successful hunters shared their meat with everyone who came. It took about 2 hours to process the whole animal. Cade Woods said the three were out commercial fishing for silver salmon when they noticed a pod of belugas.
We noticed one was nosing up to the beach and trying to get salmon. So we went up right to it and fired one shot, missed, and got it with the next one.
Rebecca Ozina said her family in Little Diomede, over 500 miles away, celebrated the catch with a traditional dance.
Right after we landed the beluga, I called home, and right now they have Russian relatives, and they're in Diomede right now celebrating a family reunion, and I asked them to announce it so they could celebrate for us, because usually when they land whales, they have a really big Eskimo dance celebration. Other people from different villages would come in and Eskimo dance and celebrate and feast. So I'm happy they are celebrating for us.
In Bristol Bay, an average of 23 belugas are reported harvested each year. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the population of belugas in the bay is stable, and that number is well within a sustainable harvest size. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lil.
A federal humanities advocate and a native nonprofit are teaming up to promote native language education programs. They'll each contribute about $2 million to fund programs within tribal communities aimed at revitalizing Native American languages. KTOO's Trip Krause looks at the partnership and what it might mean for Alaska.
Approximately 150 native languages are spoken in the U.S. 20 distinct languages alone are in Alaska. Lawrence Kaplan is a linguistics professor in Fairbanks. He says Alaska Natives care enormously about their language and culture.
And the languages are very important to the groups because it's just part of their culture. It's part of what makes them unique.
The director of the Alaska Native Language Center, Kaplan, says all Native languages are endangered. That is why the National Endowment for the Humanities has teamed up with Longmont, Colorado-based First Nations Development Institute to fund Native language education. Kaplan says Tlingit and Central Yupik would be good candidates for grant funding.
To me, the languages that would benefit most would be the ones where there's an active group of people working.
First Nations is a national nonprofit that focuses on economic development throughout Indian Country. President and CEO Michael Roberts says that includes natives in Alaska and Hawaii, but competition for the language program funding could be intense.
There is an oversubscription of applicants, $2 available. So
Roberts is Tlingit and grew up in Ketchikan. He says that the First Nations will be looking at programs to meet a certain criteria.
From our perspective, those are probably the highest likelihood of the kinds of things we'll invest in, either immersion programs that are working or folks who've done a lot of work on language retention and restoration who are kind of maybe in that pre-immersion stage.
An advisory committee will be formed, and then tribes will be contacted to submit proposals. A spokeswoman for the National Endowment for the Humanities says about 15 programs would be funded per year. In Juneau, I'm Trip Krause.
The Unalaska City Council meets tonight. At their regular session, councilors are scheduled to approve new tariffs for the Port of Dutch Harbor. They're also expected to pass an ordinance allowing the city to establish liens as a way of collecting overdue utility payments or paying to remove public nuisances. The city council meets tonight at 6 o'clock at City Hall. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Barrett Wilbur, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.